弟兄姐妹、朋友们平安。
Brothers, sisters, and friends, peace be with you.
近几年回国、回大陆探亲访友的弟兄姐妹和朋友返回美国之后，
And in recent years, and when brothers, sisters, and friends, when we go back to China to visit, and then we return home here.
许多人都会发出喜忧参半的一些赞叹、感叹。
So most of us will feel will explain it explained with both joy and worry after we come back.
一方面是赞叹，
One hand it was joy.
由经济飞速的发展带来的是日新月异的变化。
Because of huge changes brought about by the rapid economic growth.
包括市政建设、道路交通、居住环境等等，所影响到的百姓的衣食住行。
And including the changes in people's everyday life affected by the development in city construction, road traffic, and living environment.
从1980年代到现在，仅仅30多年的时间，
From 1980 to now, only a little more than 30 years.
其变化之大，可以用翻天覆地来形容。
So the changes can be described as earth-shaking.
但另一方面是担忧，
But on the other hand, it was worrisome.
随着汹涌而至的全民经商。这样一个经济大潮，
Along with the economic tide that encouraged everyone to go into business.
从个人到集团乃至到政府，
From individual to corporates and even to government.
在急功近利的那种心态所催生的那些商业行为。
So the business actions people took in the haste of getting maximum profits.
造成的是生态环境、食品安全等等国际民生各个方面的危机的那种，让人去担忧。
And it caused the risk and hidden dangers in all and everything in eco environment, food safety, and things impact greatly on the people.
大家知道这个小女生吗？
So do you know this young girl?
身高1米52，1842年出生于美国东部马萨诸塞州的一个叫艾伦·斯瓦鲁·理查兹。
And she's only 1.52 meters tall, and she was born in Massachusetts, eastern of the US, and her name is Ellen Swollen Richards.
她是麻省理工学院历史上第一个女学生，
She's the first female student in MIT.
也是他们历史上毕业以后留校的第一个女教授。
And also the first female professor in MIT after graduation.
她是当时在化学系里面，你看这当时他们这个时间，1899和1900年之间，化学系这些教授老师们。唯有这一个女生，其他全是男生。
She's from a department of chemistry. You can tell from the picture in that year, 1899 to 1900, she's only female in the whole group.
那她所处的年代正是美国内战结束之后出现的巨大的经济发展的时期。
So she lived in the era of a great economic development period.
也就是1865年到1918年的工业革命，美国工业革命时期。
So it was 1865 to 1980, the Industrial Revolution period.
1865年，1965年，1965年是个什么日子？
So 1865 and 1965, what is the year of 1965?
是中国大陆文化大革命开始的年代。
It is a time started in China, the Cultural Revolution.
所以和中国大陆改革开放、经济发展，恰恰呢是早了100年的时间。
So that was exactly 100 years earlier than the rapid economic growth in China.
大家知道，在美国工业革命，也就是中国改革开放之前100年的美国的情景是一个怎么样的？
Do you know what was like in America in 1865?
当时是国民经济飞速发展。
At that time, it was a great economic growth in America.
使得美国成为世界上最富有的工业国家。
It made America become the richest country in the whole world.
人口劳动力呢，戏剧性的从农村转向城市。
So population, the labor, was transferred dramatically from villages to cities.
所以你读那时候的文章，你要翻译过来，肯定那时候许多许多叫什么呀？ 农民工进城打工。
So if we will go back to read articles at that time, it will talk a lot about the labor transformed from villages to cities.
社会的经济呢，从土地发展呢，转向了工厂。
So from agriculture to manufacture.
而更多的是转向了服务的行业。
But more were transferred to service industries.
所以这个中国大陆的经济发展的模式是如此的相像。
So it was very much like the economic development model the mainland China is experiencing right now.
所以在当时，麻省理工学院化学系任教的史华路女士，她开天辟地的呢，成立了一个女性的实验室。
And at that time, Swallow, she revolutionarily started a women's laboratory.
我说是开天辟地，当时还没有这个。 没有这个潜力，所以他面向社会公开招生。
And we say it's revolutionary because there's nothing like that before her, and she openly admitted students from all over the society.
那对这些女学生训练期间呢，请他们走向市场。
In training, and she asked all of them to go to the markets.
将市场上所销售的各样的食物带到实验室来进行分析。
She asked them to bring back all sorts of different food to analyze.
结果惊人的发现，怎么样？
And then shockingly found out.
那些食物里边呢，都有掺杂的现象。
They found out many food contain other substance.
他们打开茶叶一查以后呢，茶叶里边有泡过水的旧茶叶。
So when they open up the tea, and they see soaked old tea leaves.
咖啡里边有掺假，然后染一染色。
And there's food coloring in the coffee.
白面粉里边有玉米粉。
The corn in flour.
大米里边掺有沙子。
And there was sand in rice.
牛奶掺水之后染一染色。
And they mixed water with milk and then put food coloring in it.
蔗糖里边有糖精。
And they mixed artificial sweetener in sugar.
蜂蜜呢是用糖浆和石蜡兑出来的。
The honey was made with syrup and wax liquid.
橄榄油里边有棉籽油。And
there were cottonseed oil in olive oil.
吃的醋里边含有盐酸。And
there were hydrochloric acid in vinegar.
那吃的盐里边呢有失了味儿的那个。 氯化镁
There was tasteless magnesium chloride in salt.
果汁里边有人工的胶冻
And there were artificial pectin juice.
腌肉里边有大量的防腐剂
There were preservatives in bacon.
这是哪儿啊？
So what sounds like?
好像是今天的大陆中国出现的情况。 非常相似。
It sounds like what we are experiencing when we go back.
所以1886年呢，史华路将这些结果，他汇集起来以后，就写了一本书，发表出版发行了。这个书呢，就叫做《食物与掺杂》。
And so Swallow gathered her findings and published a book, and the book name is Food Materials and Their Adulterations.
那在书中呢，他揭发了食物掺杂。 问题严重，危害着国民的健康。
And she revealed the food doping like this was very very serious issue for the nation.
更给国家的医疗带来了沉重的负担。
It put a huge pressure on the country's medical expenses.
从而轰动了美国的举国上下。
So it draw attention from the whole nation.
甚至当时的德国和法国为此呢，曾经提出来禁运美国的食物。
So even at that time, Germany and France refused to ship food from America because of her findings.
那我在台湾的校园网络书房订购了这本书。
So Pastor bought this book from the Taiwan campus book online.
隐藏的种子史华路。
The hidden seed, Alan Swallow.
近代食品安全的改革者。
The crusader of modern food safety.
记录了史华路和他们那个时代的许许多多的敬虔的基督徒。
This book records many devoted Christians living at that time.
他们不但注重活出敬虔的属灵的生命。
Those Christians not only focus on living out devoted spiritual life.
更是将他们自己所学的专长用到社会的实践中。
But they also practice their expertise and knowledge to the society.
从而影响这个物质的世界。
So they impact the world.
我想他完完全全可以成为现今时代所有的基督徒因着相信耶稣而出死入生之后进而借着代职服侍这样来活出一个入世的信仰的榜样。
So I would say they could be great examples of how Christian could live out a social ministry focused faith as a bivocational evangelist after all the great sacrifices a Christian had already done for their faith in Jesus Christ.
那我们今天将借着加拉太书四章二十一到三十一节的经文学习思考律法主义者的镜像这样一个主题。
So today we will use Galatians chapter 4 to study and think the topic about the legalist's mirror image.
我们依然将从三个方面展开今天的主题内容。
So as usual, we'll develop today's topic three aspects.
使我们更清楚地看见在上帝的话语正面、照妖镜前面、初代教会时期的那些律法主义者他们的真实的面目。
So we could see clearly using the judgment mirror of God's word, the true image of legalists in, yeah.
首先我们从二十一到二十三节来思想以律法之道还治律法主义者之身。
So let's use the verses from 21 to 23 to discuss what legalists get, what legalists deserve.
加拉太书四章二十一节，你们这愿意在律法以下的人，请告诉我，你们岂没有听见律法吗
？So Galatians chapter 4:21, tell me.You who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?
经文这里的你们指的是谁
？So what you in the scripture means?
然后这出现了两个律法，在律法以下的人，请告诉你们，岂没有听过律法？这两个律法指的是一回事吗
？And also there were two laws in the scripture, the first law under the law, and the second law in the later of the sentence say what the law says, do these two laws saying the same thing?
我们看看现在中文译本。让我向那些愿意生活在律法律下的人提出一个问题，你们没有听见摩西的法律吗
？So, what Pastor just read is a modern Chinese translation. It says, "And let me ask those who are willing to live under the law, did you not hear the Moses law?"
所以从经文字面来理解，你们或者是那些指的应该是加拉太众教会中深受犹太律法主义者蒙蔽的那些信徒。
From the literal meaning, you and those are the believers who deeply blinded by legalists.
那其实如果从广义来讲呢，也应该 包括那些竭力的鼓吹，不单因着信，而且还要因着遵行律法、行割礼才能得救的那些蒙蔽者，也就是那些律法主义者，包括两类人。
From a broader view, and they also include the legalists themselves, who advocate the salvation require both faith and the law of binding. So, including two type of people.
犹太律法主义者，他们所尊崇的是借着摩西所宣布的诫命。
And so the legalists respected the commandments from Moses.
经由历代拉比他们口传所延伸出来的，以前跟大家介绍过，有多少条律例啊？613条。
So and the 613 commandments and the rabbis orally derived through generations.
所以他们走路，他们吃饭，他们睡觉，他们干什么都要想着呢。613条里边的规定。
So whatever they do, sleep, eat, walk, everything, and they thinking about the 613 commandments.
这就是经文里边第一个律法。
So that was the law talking about in the first part of the scripture.
但是他们呢，却漠视记录这些诫命律例的摩西五经，创出利民神。
And so they act, but they ignored the five books of Moses.
所以第二个律法呢，指的就是圣经里边的律法。
So the second law mentioned there was the first five books of Moses in the Old Testament.
那这些经文言外之意呢，就是说，你们既然做了基督的信徒之后
，So it implies and after you believed in Jesus Christ,
仍愿意，或者说是仍追求那些613条诫命律例所管辖之下的生活。
But do you still want to pursue the living under the control of the 613 commandments?
那现在咱们就以律法书作为准则。
So let's just use the rules from the books of law.
对照一下，看看你们。
To examine you.
还有那些就是律法主义者们，对照一下你们的行事为人。
And to examine you and those legalists.
到底是否符合律法书上所记载的事情
if your actions and behaviors are actually in accordance with those laws
在新约圣经中主耶稣在世时曾经严厉指责过多次指责过什么人
in the New Testament and what Lord Jesus strongly condemned
指责什么人啊
what kind of people
法利赛人
the Pharisees
马太福音23章23节，你们这假冒为善的文士和法利赛人有祸了，因为你们将薄荷、茴香、芹菜献上十分之一。那律法上更重要的事就是公义、怜悯、信实，反倒不行了。
Matthew 23:23, while to you teachers and the Pharisees, hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law.Justice, mercy, and faithfulness.
提到法利赛人，其实啊，他们在犹太人的眼中是极受尊敬的一个人群。
The Pharisees were actually a very respected group among Jews.
他们是愿意按照律法生活而分别为圣的那一群敬虔者。
And they were devoted and to live like a saint.
他们主观上是要远离不洁净的人和事物。
And they want to stay far away from unclean people and things.
那请问，主耶稣为什么那么严厉地指责他们假冒为善呢
？But why did Jesus still condemn them as hypocrites?
啊，你们在教会里边，在讲台上讲，在教主日学，结果主耶稣指责他们。
So those are the people who teaches and doing sermons.
是因为他们的嘴巴以及他们的心中的意愿与行动是相违背的。
But Jesus still condemned them as hypocrites because their action were not in accordance with their words.
在犹太人自己的法典，称塔勒木，中将法利赛人呢分为七类。
And according to Jews' own book of law, Talmud, and there were seven kinds of Pharisees.
第一类呢，叫等一下的法利赛人，一共七类法利赛人。
The first type of seven kinds of Pharisee called wait a little Pharisee.
他们总能找到借口不去行善。
They can always find excuses not to do good deeds.
第二类呢是皮破血流的法利赛人。
The second kind is called bruised and bleeding Pharisee.
他为了避免看到妇女而受引诱，总是呢走路的时候闭上眼睛。
So this type of a Pharisee who always walked with his head down and
结果呢蹦蹦就撞了墙，撞了电线杆子，那时候可能没有电线杆子，撞得皮破血流。
So they always have their head down, eye closed, trying to avoid seeing women. So they always bumped into wall and got them bruised and bleed.
还有一种称作肩膀的法利赛人。
Another kind is called shoulder Pharisee.
将自己的善行呢都写出来挂到肩膀上，故意要让人看见。
They wrote down all their good deeds and wore them on their shoulder, so it's on display for everyone to see.
还有一种呢，驼背的法利赛人。
And the humpbacked Pharisee.
身体好好的，但是呢，故意弯着腰走路，做一种谦逊状。
They were healthy, but they intentionally walked stooped over to be seen as humble.
还有一种叫时常计算善行的法利赛人。
And another one called ever reckoning,
不断自己的数算自己的善行，以抵消自己所做的恶行。
And they always keep score, trying to make sure their good deed outnumber their bad ones.
总算出来第六种敬畏上帝的法利赛人。
And the Pharisee who fear God.
不论多么困难，仍愿意遵从上帝的旨意。
So no matter how difficult, they always want to follow God.
第七种是爱上帝的法利赛人。
The seventh is called God-loving Pharisee.
他们真实的爱上帝，是亚伯拉罕真正的子民。
So they truly loved God in the manner of Abraham.
在犹太人自己编写的法典里边，七类法利赛人中有五类都是负面的描写。
So this Talmud, in this Talmud,And five out of the seven kinds of Pharisee were negative depiction.
占70%的比例。
70%.
所以接下来保罗就用圣经律法书中一段生动的事件作为例子。
So therefore, Paul used a vivid event in the book of law as an example.
加拉太书四章二十二、二十三节，因为律法上记着。亚伯拉罕有两个儿子，一个是使女生的，一个是自主之妇人生的。然而那使女所生的是按着血气生的，那自主之妇人所生的是凭着应许生的。
So for it is written that Abraham who had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by free woman was born as the result of a promise.
保罗再次引用的是摩西五经中真正的律法书，也就是创世纪十六、十七、二十一章等等里边的经文作为比喻的。
So it was referred to the book of law, and in five books of Moses, the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 16, 17, and 21.
亚伯拉罕呢，与使女，也就是奴婢夏甲生了一个儿子叫以实玛利。
So Abraham's son Ishmael was born by the slave woman Hagar.
与原配撒拉生了一个儿子叫以撒。
And his son Isaac was born by his wife Sarah.
那我们来回顾一下这两个儿子出生前后的情况。
Let's go back to see the story, the situation before and after their birth.
亚伯拉罕与撒拉年纪老迈。
So Abraham and his wife Sarah were very old.
撒拉却没有生孩子。
But Sarah still couldn't bear a child.
但是她知道上帝曾应许她的丈夫要 成为大国之父。
But Sarah knew that God already promised Abraham to be the father of a big nation.
她也盼望自己能够成为大国的国母。
So of course she wanted to be the mother of that nation too.
但是许多年过去了，两个人老迈了，她还没有生育。
But so many years passed and passed, and she couldn't bear a child still.
有人说她或许她是不想让上帝的那个应许落空。
So some people say maybe she didn't want to let down God's promise.
她无奈的就放弃了自己的权利和尊荣。
So she had to give up her right and honor.
就按照当时族长时期的一般妇女所常做的那样。
So according to normal women would do at the patriarchal era.
要她的先生老公亚伯拉罕呢与她的使女夏甲同房。
She asked Abraham to sleep with her slave Hagar.
这就在没有上帝话语的情况下，单单是因为撒拉的请求。
So, without God's promise and the command, only because of Sarah's own request.
在亚伯拉罕87岁的时候，伊什玛利生了出来。
So when Abraham was 87 years old, Ishmael was born.
可是时过境迁。就在亚伯拉罕100岁的时候，撒拉90岁的时候。
However, later on, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old,
以他们夫妇看来是不可能的事情，一个不可思议的事件居然发生了。
So an event that the couple considered impossible and happened.
上帝亲口应许赐给他们儿子以撒降生了。
Isaac, the son that God promised to them, was born.
所以说，虽然两个儿子伊什玛利和以撒都是亚伯拉罕的亲生儿子。
So even though Ishmael and Isaac were both Abraham's sons,
但两个儿子之间有明显的区别。
But they have clear differences.
伊什玛利呢，是按着人的意愿，按着人的血气所生的。
So Ishmael was born
按照人的肉体的欲望所生的。
According to the man's will, flesh and lust.
而以撒呢，则是在人看为不可能的情况下。
But and Isaac was born
因着上帝的应许所生的。
And by God's promise, under the circumstances impossible to man.
是一种超然所生的。
So she was born transcendently.
我们看新汉语译本翻译的这边，加拉太书4:22-23，经上记着，亚伯拉罕有两个儿子，一个是悖女所生，一个是自由的妇人所生。悖女所生的儿子是按着肉体生的，血气肉体。
And another translation in English is say, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. But he who wasOf the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, the flesh.
所以大家请注意，我们应该相信的是。
So we need to pay attention here.
看到此时，也就是保罗的经文，如果在那儿读的时候，这个时候如果台下坐着有那些熟读律法书的那些律法主义者们。
We need to understand, and when Paul.Talk about this, and those knowledgeable legalists sitting down there listen.
在他们心中一定开始了有一种不安的情绪。
Those legalists must have felt very uneasy at that time.
这就是保罗要达到的一个效果。
That was the reaction Paul wanted.
就是以律法之道还治律法主义者之身。
So that was to teach the legalists a lesson.With their own means.
虽然都是亚伯拉罕亲生的儿子。
Even though both were the sons of Abraham.
伊什玛利是因着人的智谋而生的。
But Ishmael was born by man's wisdom.
以撒是因着上帝的应许而生的。
But Isaac was born by God's promise.
这两者之间有什么区别？
So how are they different?
就是。24-27的经文，人的智谋与上帝应许的天壤之别。
So that is what we're going to talk about in Galatians chapter 4, 24 to 27. Words apart between man's wisdom and God's promise.
我们看经文加拉太书4章24-26，这都是比方。那两个妇人就是两约，一约是出于西乃山生子为奴，乃是夏甲。这夏甲二字指的是阿拉伯的西乃山，与现在的耶路撒冷同类。耶路撒冷和他的儿女都是为奴的，但那在上的耶路撒冷是自主的，他是我们的母。
So Galatians chapter 4:24, these things are being taken figuratively, as the women represent two covenants. The one covenant is from Mount Sinai.And bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in labor, she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother.
刚才出现两个儿子，两个律法，现在又出现两个耶路撒冷，我们要注意。
So they we talk about two laws, and now we talk about two Jerusalems.
我参考了许多资料，最后我综合我做了一个表，我们来看。其实呢，经文在这里将两个妇人比作两个约，或者呢说是两个系统。
From this figure, Pastor did, and these two women represent two covenants.
一个约呢是以夏甲为代表的以色列人出埃及，途经西乃山的时候。上帝经摩西所立的律法的旧约。
So one is Hagar. Hagar represents the Old Testament, the Old Covenant that God commanded through Moses when Israelites left Egypt and went through Mount Sinai.
而就是那个西乃山，恰恰呢，也是后来夏甲的儿子以实玛利及其他们的后代所居住的地方。
That Mount Sinai was the dwelling place of Hagar's son Ishmael and his descendants.
地处那个时候也是当今的阿拉伯，就是今天沙特阿拉伯所它的境内所在的地方。
So it was in Arabia, the current Saudi Arabia.
它按照古代巴勒斯坦的风俗，女奴就是奴隶，他们的所生的儿女。依然呢，只能做奴隶。
So according to the custom of the Palestine, the children born by slave women through flesh could only be slaves.
那另一个约呢，就是以撒拉为代表的上帝应许所赐给的亚伯拉罕的叫自由之约。
So another covenant was represented by Sarah.That is a free covenant that God promised to Abraham.
是按照圣灵所生的以撒及其后代，是由主母所生的主人的后代。
So it was Isaac and his descendants born by the Holy Spirit. They were the children of the owner. They were born by the mother.
那这段经文呢，是那些骄傲的、自以为是的犹太背景的律法主义者，他们看到这儿以后呢？一定是哑口无言了。
So these verses made those proud and self-righteous legalists speak this.
因为他们自古以来一直标榜自己是亚伯拉罕的后裔。
Because they always flaunted themselves as Abraham's descendants.
标榜自己属于上帝的子民。
Flaunted themselves as God's people.
而此时保罗却给了他们当头一棒。
But now Paul hit right on their head.
作为亚伯拉罕肉身的后裔是不足以成为上帝儿女的。
Because being Abraham's descendants was not enough to become God's children.
成为上帝的儿女需要怎么样？需要怎么？需要信靠耶稣。
To be God's children, the only thing they do is to rely on Jesus Christ.
而且，即便你信了耶稣。又走回头路去随从地上的那个耶路撒冷所设立的那些所谓的律法条例613条。
So moreover, even they believe in Jesus, if they went back to follow the law and those 630 commandments,
那些地上的耶路撒冷就是那些律法、那些圣殿、那些祭司的制度、宗教礼仪等等那些夏甲的系统， 如果你回到那个系统里的话。
So if they went back to the system of the laws, temple, priesthood, and rituals established by the earthly Jerusalem,
依然会回到奴隶的身份。
They went back to be slaves.
所以我们看一段经文，罗马书九章六到八节。因为从以色列生的不都是以色列人，也不是因为是亚伯拉罕的后裔，也都就都做他的儿女。唯独从以撒生的，才要称为你的后裔。这就是说，肉身所生的儿女不是神的儿女，唯独那应许的儿女才算是后裔。
So Romans chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it's not the natural children who are God's children, but it's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring.
那请问，回到刚才那个图上，刚才问了，说天上的耶路撒冷指的是什么？
So let me ask, what does the Jerusalem that is above mean?
耶稣基督来到世上之后，
So as Jesus Christ comes,
前面咱们多次谈到，说明显的就是当时的那些律法已经被成全了。
We have mentioned many times, it is clear that the law will have been fulfilled.
那地上的耶路撒冷包括一切的殿宇啊、装饰呀、啊、礼仪啊、规条啊等等的，都会遭到彻底的毁灭。
So the earthly Jerusalem and her every temple, decor, ritual, and rules will be destroyed entirely.
而所有相信耶稣基督、成为基督的信徒的人都得到了什么呀？
So all the believers in Jesus Christ will receive,
在以弗所中提到，得到了天上的属灵的福分。
According to Ephesians, and will receive blessed, will be blessed with every spiritual blessing.
那在腓立比书中说，都成为了天上的国民了。
And in book of Philippians, and we all become citizens in heaven.
这些人聚集在一起称为什么呀？聚在一起，我们聚在一起称为什么
？So what we call us as a group.
属灵的家，什么呀？教会。
We call them spiritual home, our church.
这就是指的天上的耶路撒冷。
That is what the Jerusalem that is above means.
那我们接着看下边的经文，加拉太书四章二十七节。你们经常记着，不怀孕不生养的你要欢乐，未曾经过产难的你要高声欢呼，因为没有丈夫的比有丈夫的儿女更多。
Continue with the verse, for it is written, Be glad, O barren woman, who bears no children, break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband.
二十七节经文呢，是引用旧约圣经以赛亚书里边的经文。
So this verse 27 refers to Isaiah chapter 54 in the Old Testament.
那以赛亚五十四章一节的经文呢，是以创世纪有关撒拉的故事为背景的。
That chapter 54 has Sarah's story in Genesis as background.
有丈夫的儿女呢？指的是被掳巴比伦之前看起来是繁荣昌盛的耶路撒冷。
So the woman who has a husband refers to the prosperous Jerusalem prior to its Babylonian captivity.
那这个在刚才两个系统里边相当于哪个系统啊？
So
繁荣昌盛的有，就是夏甲的那个系统。
So talking about two systems earlier, and that equals to Hagar.
所以不怀孕不生养未曾经过产难指的是被掳之后凋零的耶路撒冷。
And so the barren woman and never born child, never in labor refers to the dying Jerusalem after its captivity.
也就相当于撒拉的那个系统。
So it equals Sarah's system.
你看在主前586年耶路撒冷城被古巴比伦的军队毁灭，人民被掳。
So in BC 586, Jerusalem was destroyed by Babylonian armies and the people were captured.
使得耶路撒冷凋零，如同被冷落的女子。
So it caused Jerusalem to wane just like a desolate woman.
如同年老的撒拉一样。
Like old aged Sarah.
陷入没有生养孩子的绝望之中。
And she was lost in the despair of not having children.
但是上帝借着先知以赛亚的口发出了应许。
But God promised through prophet Isaiah.
在犹大以色列被掳之后，要重建，要复兴耶路撒冷。
And after Judah and Israel were captured, Jerusalem will be rebuilt.
使他有许多子孙，甚至比有丈夫的儿女更多。
So we'll have more children, even more than the woman who had a husband.
那同样在初代教会保罗所处的年代。
So it is similar to the early church era, Paul was at.
乃至今天21世纪的时代。
And even today in 21st century.
因着许多不是凭着血气而相信耶稣的基督的信徒们。
And the Christians who rely entirely on promise.
依然属于少数。
The number of those Christians is still low.
或者说, 是以撒拉所象征的自由教会看起来是不能怀孕的。
In other words, Sarah represents the free church. It seems like the free church to be barren.
就说今天的教会传讲十字架的福音，并不像夏甲所象征的那个时候的律法的生活那样对许许多多的人有那么多的吸引力。
So to many people, the gospel it preaches is not as popular of the law of binding lives that legalists preaching.
教会看起来似乎不兴旺。
So the church seems not to be prosperous.
甚至今天在欧洲的许多国家，教会关门，教堂呢被拍卖或者挪作他用。
So some churches in Europe are even closed, sold, or used for other purpose.
不论今天的教会看起来是何等的不生养，遭遗弃。
So no matter how barren and isolate and weak the church seems to be.
是何等的软弱荒凉。
To the weak and isolate.
但是,
But
上帝借着以赛亚，借着使徒保罗发出了宣告。
God already proclaimed through prophet Isaiah and apostle Paul.
出于应许的儿女将要比出于血气的儿女更多。
There will be more children by promise than the children by physical.
所以今天有信心的信徒，我们要高声的欢呼。
So we need to cheer for this.
欢呼吗？
Will we cheer for this?
Amen.
Amen.
下面我们借着经文28到31节来思想血气之子与应许之子的归宿。
And then Galatians chapter 4, 28 to 31, destinations of sons of the flesh and sons of the promise.
我们看28、29、30节经文。弟兄们，我是凭着应许做儿女，如同以撒一样，当时那按着血气生的，逼迫了那按着圣灵生的。现在也是这样，现在也是这样。然而经上是怎么说的呢？是说把使女和她儿子赶出去，因为使女的儿子不可与自主妇人的儿子一同
Verse 28 to 30. Now you brothers like Isaac were our children of a promise. At that time, the son born in ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son.
在旧约圣经创世纪的记载中，使女女奴夏甲因着自己先于撒拉怀孕。According
to the scripture in Genesis, the slave woman Hagar, knowing she was pregnant before Sarah,
她不但不感激女主人的推荐，
she she not only did not thank for her owner's recommendation.
她反而骄傲地讥笑撒拉。
And she but actually laughed at Sarah.
那这个女奴夏甲所生的儿子一是玛丽，她身为哥哥，她不细心地照顾小她14岁的弟弟以撒，反倒一大欺小。
So the son of Hagar, Ishmael, not only did not care for the a brother 14 years younger than him, but actually bullied him.
所以他们母子两人呢，先后两次被赶出家门，最终呢，被剥夺了承受产业的权利。
So as a result, both women, both the mother and the son, were expelled from home twice. In the end, their inheritance right was taken away.
那在结束了以上的比喻之后，最后保罗向加拉太信徒，也是向历史历代的信徒高声宣告说。
So after the above metaphor, Paul proclaimed to believers in Galatia and the believers of all generations.
弟兄们，这样看来，我们不是使女的儿子，乃是自主妇人的儿女了。
Therefore, brothers, sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman.
哎，他已经读了这个现代译文。就是，所以弟兄姐妹们，我们并不是女奴的儿女，而是自由的女子所生的。
Another version say, therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman.
保罗在这里宣告说，既然你们和我一样，是因着对主耶稣的信心而成为撒拉的子孙。
So, and you just like me, become Sarah's descendants through our faith in Jesus.
我们都是在上帝家中的自由人了。
So we are all free men in God's family.
所以就不应该与律法主义者以及他们所煽动鼓吹的凭行为、凭割礼才能够得救，不要和他们扯上任何关系了。
So we should have nothing to do with those legalists and what they had been advocating.The salvation through behaviors.
那开始的时候和大家分享的美国1865年，记得啊，1865年到1918年工业革命经济大发展的时期。
So in the beginning of the sermon, we shared about the American Revolution period between 1865 and 1918.
用自己所学的专长，凭着代职服事，而活出入世的信仰的榜样，史华路。
Talk about Ellen Swallow, and she was the great example of living our social ministry-focused faith.
那她在麻省理工学院化学系任教期间呢，正值1870年中期的波士顿的福音大复兴的时候。
So when she was teaching in MIT.And it was a time when the Boston Gospel revived in the mid-1870s.
他带领学生参加福音布道会，他自己还担任陪谈员。
So she led students to join gospel meetings. She was counselor.
而她的丈夫呢，是麻省理工学院矿物学系的教授。
So her husband, he was the professor in MIT department, mineralogy.
也是热心的担任布道会的诗班的成员。
And he also served as the member of a gospel choir.
所以当时在福音的热情的激励下，史华路他所想到的是有一段。
So inspired by the gospel, and Swallow thought.
我给大家读一下，说有些人在思索信仰的复兴后将朝向哪一个方向发展。
And she recorded that in her book. They say some people is thinking.What direction of faith is going after its revival?
我的生活很忙，不知道还能做些什么。
My life is very busy. I don't know what else I can do.
但我知道要保留时间与体力。
But I know I need to preserve time and strength.
去体会上帝的带领。
To understand God's lead.
我相信只要站在上帝要我站的岗位上，上帝的旨意就会成全。
I believe.As long as I stand on the post that God put me on, God will fulfill.
所以令他自己也没有想到的是，上帝带领他所走向的领域是什么。
So unexpectedly, the field that God took her on is.
就是普世的 食品安全的改革。
The universal reform of food safety.
刚才提到，他就开天辟地的成立了麻省理工学院的女性实验室。
We mentioned earlier she started a women's laboratory in MIT.
这位在脚上的是她，其他的你看那女性好像都是。
She is on the far left.
所以他们发现市场上许多食物都有掺杂物的时候呢，他编写了《食物的掺杂》一书之后。
After she found out food doping problem and published the book.
于1888年。他得到被后世尊称为美国营养之父的当时任联邦政府的农业部化学局局长的阿特沃特那个人的支持。
And she was supported by Wilbur Atwater, and Wilbur Atwater was later known as the father of nutrition, and he was the secretary of Federal Ministry of Agriculture.
两个人呢就联手草拟食品改革法案。
So 12 of them drafted together the food reform bill.
那期间不断的受到来自于那些公司的、来自于那些政府的、那些得到利益的那些私营企业等等等等，他们各方面的严苛的批评和阻挠。
The bill was criticized and obstructed by the government and the corporates who benefit from food doping.
五年后的1893年，在农业部通过。
So it was actually passed by the Ministry of Agriculture in 1893.
那这个法案在农业部通过了以后呢，在1895年进入国会之后，又经历了十年的时间，最后终于立法成功。
And then it finally succeeded in legislation in 1895.
就是今天我们大家不算生疏的什么呀？美国食品。与药物管理法。
Yeah, that was 10 years after the bill was in Congress. So that was a Food and a Drug Act that everybody knows today.
大家可以记住这个年代1906年食品和药物管理法那个时候呢立案。
So it was established as a law in 1906.
以及背后呢1906年成立的举世闻名的什么呀？美国联邦食品与药物管理局 FDA。
And because of this act, and the world famous U.S. Federal Food and Drug Administration was established.
所以我们今天生活在这个国土上，得以享受食品和药物的安全保障。
So nowadays, when we enjoy the food and safety.
不要忘记那个小女人，她叫什么
？So we need to remember.
Ellen Swallow. Yeah.
So we need to remember the name of Ellen H. Swallow Richards.
就是这个基督徒和他们那个时代的许许多多的基督徒，他们代职服侍而活出了入世的信仰。
And because of her and the very And many devoted Christians, and who lived out the social ministry-focused faith.
所以，借着今天的经文，借着这些前面的这些先辈们，我们思想在我们自己的工作岗位上，如何成全上帝的旨意。
The thinking of them, and we need to think for ourselves how we can fulfill God's will.
最后我想请大家我们一起来读一段经文，就是提摩太后书1:9，我们先读中文然后再读英文。
Let's read together a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1-9. Let's read Chinese first.
来中文。上帝救了我们，以圣召召我们，不是按我们的行为，乃是按他的旨意和恩典，这恩典是万古之先在基督耶稣里赐给我们的。
2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time.
我们一起祷告。
Let's pray.
主，我们在天上的父，我们感谢你赐给我们宝贵的话语。
And our heavenly